Father, we come before you now. We're grateful for the opportunity to be able to sing to you. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice you have made for us to open up a way for us to be reconciled with you. Father, right now as we read your word, I pray that you would give us eyes to see and you would give us ears to hear. Lord, that you would speak to us. You would encourage us. You would strengthen our faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, church. It's good to be here with you this morning. I'm glad to be able to share with you for a few minutes. I see that there are some visitors here, so just wanted to say I'm glad y'all are here. Wanted to just kind of give you an update where we've been. So we've been in the past few months, we've been preaching through the book of Genesis, all right? And we've made it all the way up to Genesis 15. And so we've talked about lots of different stuff. We talked about, you know, Adam and Eve and the serpent and Cain and Abel and Noah, Shem, Ham, Canaan, Abraham and Lot, all these people. We've talked about all these things. And one of the things that Pastor Phil has brought out that I thought has been really informative for me was that, like, after the fall, there's basically two different diverging lines of humanity, right? Remember when he talked about Cain and Abel, he talked about there were some people that were the seeds of the serpent. The two lines, the seeds of the serpent and the seeds of the woman, right? And so the seeds of the serpent are those people that rebel against God. They don't listen to God. They do their own thing. They follow their own way. That's the seed of the serpent. And then there's also been a remnant. There's also been another line, the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman are the ones that believe in God's promises and walk by faith, right? And that's one of the themes that we keep seeing over and over and over again, every single week, is this idea of faith. Like Pastor Phil's mentioned it, like every single week, people that live by faith. And that's the theme, is that God's people live by faith. And so what we want to do today, we're going to kind of take a break from the book of Genesis, kind of take a break, because we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we're going to be. This is a relatively well-known passage of Scripture. It's called like the roll call of faith or the hall of faith. Raise your hand if you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. Most of us have probably either heard of this passage of Scripture, know a little bit about it. But basically, this is just it focuses on a study of faith and what faith is, what it looks like, the examples of faith. And so we're going to kind of zoom in on this idea of faith today. Now, there are certain Christian virtues, certain Christian characteristics that are kind of like frowned upon or looked down upon by our society today. But faith really isn't one of them, right? Like our society today, they love faith. People are talking about faith all the time. Man, if you go to Hobby Lobby later this week, you can buy all sorts of stuff about faith to decorate your house with. All right, so our society loves the idea of faith, okay? And so even like, I don't know about you, but on my Facebook feed, there's people constantly posting stuff about faith. But if you start thinking about it or start reading these things, like when people talk about faith, they mean different things. And I'm not quite sure if our society really has a good understanding of what faith is, right? So people mean different things when they say faith. Like I pulled a few memes that I want to show y'all just to give you this idea. People mean different things when they talk about faith, all right? So let's look at a couple of these. Here's the first one that I saw. Faith is like Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but it has the power to connect you to what you need. Now, what do y'all think about that? Y'all think faith's like Wi-Fi? Like, I guess my first thought was this, is like, if it is like Wi-Fi, well, is it like a locked network or an unlocked network? And if it's a locked network, how do you get the password? What's the password for? All right, so I'm not quite sure if faith is like Wi-Fi. All right, let's look at another one. All right, accept what is, let go of what was, and have faith in what will be. Man, isn't that just encouraging? Doesn't that just give you a warm feeling on the inside? Like, is that what faith is? Is faith just like a feeling of optimism? Is faith just like a hope for the future? All right, what about this next one? Put a demand on God in faith and watch Him say yes to your dream. Like, is that what faith is? Is faith how we demand stuff from God? I don't know about that. All right, I got one more. This is my favorite. Okay, this is the Pope and the Pope Mobile. Nothing says I trust you, God, like 3 inches of bulletproof glass. All right? I love it. Okay, so, but you get it, right? Is faith just something that spiritual people say that they have, but actually, when it comes down to it, they're going to stay behind the bulletproof glass? Like, is faith even a real thing? Church, I would submit to you that none of these is what the Bible talks about when it's talking about faith. All right? And so it's important for us to know, when the Bible talks about faith, what it's talking about. All right? And luckily, that's what where Hebrews 11 starts. It gives us the definition of faith. All right, so if you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews 11, and we are going to read starting in verse 1. What is biblical faith? Hebrews 11, 1 says this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it, the people of old receive their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Okay, let's stop there. You see the words that the author of Hebrews used to describe faith. He says assurance, right? Assurance of things hoped for, convictions of things not seen. Man, these words, assurance and conviction, like, these are solid words, right? These are weighty words. These aren't just like cotton candy words. These are like concrete block words. They mean something. Like, there's a little bit of behind it. Okay? So there's a certainty to it. And it says an assurance of things hoped for. So the things hoped for are things that are going to happen in the future. Things hoped for in the future. And then the things that are not seen. A conviction of things not seen. So a conviction of things that not seen. To me, not seen is like stuff that's happened in the past. All right? So there's a lot of things, guys, that humans just don't know about, just based on our limitations. There are a lot of things that happened before we got here and a lot of things that are going to happen after we leave. And we don't know about that. So how do we respond to that? Like, can we have any assurance? Can we really know stuff for sure that we don't have firsthand experience of? The Bible says that, yes, we can. We can have an assurance. We can have a conviction of these things. John MacArthur says the faith described here involves the most solid possible conviction, the God-given present assurance of a future reality, not based on empirical evidence, but based on divine assurance. All right? So biblical faith is not just like a warm, fuzzy feeling of optimism, but also, did you see that? It says it's not based on empirical evidence. So biblical faith is not just like a scientific conclusion. Biblical faith is not us saying, well, I observed all the evidence, I've analyzed all the data, and this is what I determine the most likely conclusion to be. All right, that's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is a conviction based on God-given present assurance. All right, so we can have an assurance of things in the past, assurance of things in the future through a deep trust in God. And so this is my definition of faith. Biblical faith is a deep trust in God that influences our actions. Biblical faith, a deep trust in God that influences our actions. Okay, a couple other things we need to know about faith. Where does faith come from? This idea of biblical faith, where does it come from? Over and over in different parts of the Scripture, we hear that saving faith ultimately is a gift from God. Okay? Faith is not something we can just manifest within ourselves. Like, we can't conjure up faith within ourselves. Faith ultimately comes from the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, right? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Y'all remember the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, right? If you want to live a life that is full of faith, it comes through the Holy Spirit at work in your life. So that's where faith comes from. And also, true faith always influences our actions. Like, y'all might have heard the example of faith. Like, if you have a chair right here, you know, you might say that you have faith in this chair to hold you up, but you don't actually exhibit faith until you actually, like, come over and sit down in the chair. Like, that's how you know you have faith, when you exhibit faith. Your true faith is going to cause you to act, right? And we also see in Scripture that faith can be stronger or weaker. Like, some people have strong faith, other people have weaker faith. So we see this, like, in Matthew chapter 8. We've got two different kind of stories that are right back to back. So first of all, we have the Roman centurion. Roman centurion has a paralyzed servant. And you know what? He goes up and says, Jesus, you don't even have to come over here. J- just say the word, and the man's going to be healed. And Jesus says, man, that guy's got some faith. Like, there's nobody in Israel I've seen with that much faith. He's got strong faith. All right? And then just a little while later in that same chapter, we have the disciples. And they're with Jesus on a boat in the middle of a sea, and the storm comes up, and they're just like panicking. Oh my gosh, we're going to die. And Jesus wakes up and says, come on, guys. Like, is this really how it's going to, you really think this is how it's going to end? Oh, you of little faith. All right? So we can have strong faith. We can have weak faith. And we want to have strong faith, right? Yes, we want to have strong faith. But how much faith is actually necessary? You know, Jesus tells us that this might be surprising, but like, you don't actually have to have a really strong faith. Like, when Jesus tells us how much faith you need to have, you know how much faith he said you needed? The size of a mustard seed. All right? He says, if you have faith the size of the mustard seed, you know why he picked the mustard seed? Because the mustard seed is really small. Okay, that's the whole point. The whole point of him picking the mustard seed was that the mustard seed is really, really small. So you don't have to have really strong faith. Because weak faith is okay as long as it's put in a strong enough object. All right? So the object of our faith is more important than the size of our faith. All right? The object of our faith is more important than the size of our faith. And I've got an example to help us understand that. But before I do that, I'm going to drink a sip of water right quick. Okay, so when I was a kid, we didn't have a lot of the stuff that kids have today to play with, right? So kids, when I was growing up, we didn't have PlayStations, we didn't have Xbox, we didn't have cell phones, didn't have iPads. I did have a TV, but we only got 5 stations, okay? And so a lot of times there wasn't a lot on TV. So we had to go outside and play. We spent a lot of times playing outside. One of the things we did have outside that was fun and we loved to play on was a tire swing. All right, an old-fashioned tire swing. Raise your hand if you had a tire swing or played with a tire swing like this growing up. All right, a lot of y'all know what I was talking about. Tire swings were a lot of fun, and they're actually really simple to make. You really only need 3 different things to make a tire swing. The first thing you need is an old tire, okay? It doesn't really matter what sort of tire you get. You just want to make sure that it's not so worn out that the steel belt's coming showing through, right? Because if you get a tire that's, like, really, really old, sometimes there's little pieces of metal that sticks out of it, and it'll scrape your legs all up once you get on it. So make sure you get a tire with a steel belt not showing through, and then you need a rope. Tie the rope around the tire. And you need one more thing. What else do you need? You need a tree. That's correct. Now you need a tree to tie the tire swing onto. Now, this is the most important part, is to try to find a tree with a limb that's big enough and strong enough to hold the tire swing up so you don't fall. You don't want to find a limb that's small or weak or rotten. You need a big, strong limb. Now, what about this tree here? I've got pictures of 2 different trees. Look at this tree here. Do you think this tree would be a good tree to tie a tire swing onto? Yes, this is definitely going to be an awesome tree to lose. Like, look how big all these limbs are. Man, if you tie a tire swing onto those trees, like, you and all your friends will be able to play on that thing and not have to worry at all about it breaking. All right, this is a good tree. Now, what about this other tree? I got another picture of a tree. What about this one? Is this a good tree? So, you're right. This is not a good tree for a tire swing because it's small, right? It's weak. You see how weak that tree is? Like, it has to have pieces of wood on the side to help hold itself up, right? This tree is not a good tree. Now, let me ask you this. What if you had a friend that came up and said, you know what? That tree looks a little bit weak. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get a bigger rope. And if I get a really thick rope, then maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll hold it up. You think that will work? You think it'll work? No. It's not going to matter how strong a rope you get. You're never going to be able to tie a tire swing on that because the tree's not strong enough. All right? That's the whole point. The whole point is like the object of your faith is more important than the size of a faith. You only need faith the size of a mustard seed as long as it's put in the right place. All right? So I got something I need to say to all the men in here real quick. So men, listen up. I'm not quite sure who needs to hear this, but I think somebody in here needs to hear this. Men, you're not the big tree. All right? You're not the big tree, bro. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how many plates you can deadlift. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how hard you can work. I don't care if you've been to seminary. You're not the big tree. All right? I hate to tell you this, but actually, you're the small tree. Okay? You're the small tree. I'm the small tree. We're all the small trees. All right? And as long as, man, as long as you keep acting like the big tree, as long as you keep trying to be the big tree, you're going to do nothing but wear yourself out and cause heartache and pain for yourself and everybody else around you. And guys, I can testify to this because I have spent the majority of my life trying as hard as I could to be the big tree. And I haven't been able to do it. All right? And it's been exhausting, and it's led to a lot of problems in my life. All right, you're not the big tree, but listen to me. Brother, listen to me. You don't have to be the big tree. All right? You don't have to be the big tree because Jesus is the big tree, and He can do it. All right? Jesus can be the big tree, and you can let Him do it. All right? You can let Him do it. You can trust Him and let Him do it. So, stop trying to control everything, man. Stop trying to be strong enough to fix every problem. Stop acting like you got it all together and let Jesus be the big tree. All right? He makes a lot better God than you will. All right? Amen? Okay. Now listen, we got to move on. Definition of biblical faith, deep trust in God that influences our actions. All right? And after Hebrews defines faith in this way, the author just gives example after example after example of people that live by faith. So go back to Hebrews 11. Let's look at verse 4 and read starting at verse 4 about some examples of faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of the promised as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them from afar, seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Okay, so let's stop there. After the author of Hebrews defines faith, he gives us all these examples of biblical faith. And a lot of these are people that we've been learning about in Genesis for the past couple months. So we start with Abel. You remember when Pastor Phil was speaking about Abel. He said Abel brought his firstborn of his flock, the fat portions, and he gave them as a sacrifice to the Lord. Phil said he brought his first and his best. All right, he made a costly sacrifice to God. And the way that he did that, he made an acceptable costly sacrifice. He did that by faith. What about Enoch? Enoch, it says, by faith, Enoch walked in fellowship with God, and he pleased God. And you know what? Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. That's pretty cool, all right? And he did it by faith. Noah, so God came up to Noah and said, hey, man, there's a flood coming. You ought to build a boat. And Noah did it. Like, he spent decades building a huge ark. I mean, people probably thought it was crazy. Like, he spent, like, year after year after year building an ark. But he believed. He believed God would, no matter how crazy it seemed. And he was able to obey by faith. What about Abraham? God told Abraham, hey, I want you to go. I want you to leave your home country, leave your family, leave everything you know, and I want you to go somewhere else. But you know what? I'm not even going to tell you where you're going. I want you to go, and I'll show you where you go after you've left. Like, do you know how risky that was back in the day? Like, that was extremely dangerous for him to do that. But he was obedient. He did something risky, and he did it by faith. What about Sarah? It says in verse 11, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age. Sarah did something completely impossible. Okay, she had a baby when she was 90 years old. That's impossible. But you know what? She did it. It actually happened. And the reason why it happened was because she had faith. That's what this says. And the rest of this chapter, man, we hear about Moses and Rahab and Gideon, David, Samuel. All of these are people. Like, these aren't perfect people. Right? All these people had some, you know, serious problems in their life and dealt with sin just like you and I do. They were all sinners. They weren't perfect. They weren't best people. But these are all examples of people who have a deep trust in God that influences their actions. And it's encouraging to think about, all these examples of people living by faith. But it's not just people that lived a long time ago that lived by faith. Guys, there's people today that you and I know that have walked by faith and that are walking by faith right now. And even here today in our midst at Redeemer Church, we've got lots of people that are living by faith. Like, we have people that have taken children that weren't their own children and have taken them into their homes and have raised them as their own and even adopted them into their family. Like, it takes faith to do that. All right, we have people that have been seriously hurt, seriously wounded by people that love them dearly, and they've been able to forgive them. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to forgive. We've had people here in our church that have undergone terrible tragedy, all right, terrible suffering. We've had people that have lost children. We've had people whose husbands have abandoned them. And, like, how do you make it through something like that? You make it through by walking by faith. That's the only way you can do it. All right? We have people, church, that have been praying for years and years and years, asking God to do stuff, right? Good things like save family members or like bless them with children, praying for years. And you know what? God hasn't answered their prayers yet, but they're still faithfully coming, and they're still walking by faith in that. The only reason why we're here today, you know why we're here today, church? Because about 15 years ago, there was a group of people that did something a little bit crazy. Like, they decided to leave their church family that they were a part of because they thought God was telling them to plant a new church. And so they left their church family, and they moved all the way over to a little spot down in a hole on Friendship Road behind the Dollar General, and they started another church. That's the reason why we're here today. All right? And so Redeemer Church was started by men and women walking by faith and trusting God. All right? And I don't know about you, but I want to be a church. And I want to raise my children in a church that's filled with men and women that trust God and to do what He tells them to do. Even if it's something costly. All right? Even if it's something that seems a little bit crazy. Even if it's something that's risky. Even if it's something that seems impossible, like, I want Redeemer Church to be a church that walks by faith and does what God tells them to do because they trust in God. All right? Now, why do I bring all this up? Listen, I'm not bringing any of this up to try to put Redeemer or anybody here on a pedestal or exalt anybody. The only reason why I bring all this up, these examples up, is to encourage you. Okay? Because I think really the more I've studied Hebrews chapter 11, I think the whole purpose of Hebrews chapter 11 is to be an encouragement. The reason why there's all these examples that are listed is because it is encouraging to see other people walk by faith. Other people's faith can strengthen our faith. And the reason why I think that is because of the way that Hebrews 12 starts. Okay? So Hebrews 12 chapter 1 or Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and is seated at the right hand of God." All right, so do you see the logic there? Like, Hebrews 11 is like this whole long line of people. These are all these people that are lived by faith. And Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since all these people walk by faith, then you also, let us also walk by faith." All right, so seeing other people who walk by faith can encourage us and can strengthen our faith. So I want to encourage you this morning, church. I want to encourage you that we are surrounded today, and you come from a legacy of people. If you're a member here, you come from a legacy of people who have walked and are walking by faith. All right? And so if they can walk by faith, then you can too. I don't know what you're going through this morning, or I don't know what the Lord's calling you to do, but whatever it is, you can do it. You can walk by faith as long as you do it in the same way that they did it. All right? And it's not by being awesome, and it's not by trying really, really hard. It's by fixing your eyes on Jesus. That's the key. That's how you walk by faith. You walk by faith by fixing your eyes on Jesus. And because Jesus is where our faith comes from. Jesus is the author of our faith. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. He's the source of our faith. If you want to walk by faith, then you fix your eyes on Jesus. And when you fix your eyes on Jesus, and when you walk by faith, there are certain results that you can count on. All right, there are certain results that you can count on. And I want to mention a few of those results to you. But before I do, I want to stop and just say, you got to be really careful here. All right, you got to be careful when you start talking about results of faith, because this is the part of the sermon where some pastors will get up and look you in the face and lie to you. All right, and some pastors will say, "Brother, if you just have enough faith, God will heal your cancer. Sister, if you have enough faith, God will restore your marriage. If you can just have enough faith, God will bless you financially." I'm here to tell you today, that's not true. All right, the Bible never promises that. The Bible never promises health, wealth, comfort, happiness for people that walk by faith. All right, sometimes the earthly results work out good. Sometimes they don't. All right. Sometimes there's worldly success, sometimes there's not. And we can see this in Hebrews 11. Like, look down at verse 33. Look down at verse 33 right quick in Hebrews chapter 11. The author says, "Listen, I don't have time to tell you about all these other folks who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection." Man, you read that and you're like, "Yes, sign me up. I want to be on that list," right? But then it keeps going, all right? "Some were tortured, refusing to accept relief so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking, flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." So you see that? Like, all these people walk by faith. And some of them conquered kingdoms and some of them got sawn into. And they both walk by faith. So the earthly results are uncertain. But there are some other results and spiritual results that you can count on. And they're kind of sprinkled through that verse 4 through 16 that we read. Mention a few of them to you. The first one is this. If you walk by faith, you will please God. All right? Did you catch that in verse 6? "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if you walk by faith, you'll please God." That word "please" means to be fully agreeable or to be acceptable before God. Man, God loves it when His children trust in Him and walk by faith. You can bring, you know, you can bring delight to your Heavenly Father by walking by faith. You can please God if you walk by faith. Now, what about this? The next one is this. Commendation. You receive a commendation when you walk by faith. Now, when I first saw the word, like, so, first of all, this word commendation is five different times in the passage in the ESV. Starts in, the first one is in verse 2. For by faith the people of old receive their commendation. What does that mean? So when I first saw commendation, like, my first thought was like being commended for something. Like, good job, buddy. Way to go. You get a gold star. Like, commended like that. But that's not exactly what it means. So other translations, instead of saying commended, it say like approved of, or to obtain a testimony, to obtain a good testimony to. So the Greek word actually means like to bear witness to something, or to like to prove something, to confirm something by testimony. So what I think this actually means is that when we live by faith, we prove to ourselves, we prove to everyone else around us that glorifying God is the most supreme goal of our life. Right? There is no more powerful testimony to God's excellencies than a man that suffers well, somebody that's been being obedient in a hard situation, or somebody that does something that just seems crazy. They don't make any sense because God told them to do it. Like, when we live by faith, we receive a commendation. All right, the next one is this, righteousness. When we live by faith, we get righteousness. I feel like this is something we've talked about every single week. But you know what? It's really important, so we're going to talk about it again. All right? When you, what does righteous mean? So the idea of righteousness means you are declared in right standing before God. Right? It means that everything is good between you and God. And the problem is, none of us start out that way. We all start out being separated from God. Our sin separates us from God. And so we start out guilty before God. We start out separated from Him. We start out alienated from Him. And so something's got to happen to fix that problem. Something's got to happen to reconcile us to God. So how does that happen? Well, this is what Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 5 talks a lot about this. Talks about Abraham. And how is Abraham justified? How is Abraham made righteous before God? Was it because he followed all the law? Or was it because he believed? And what Romans chapter 4 says is that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. All right? So Abraham was justified. Abraham was made righteous by faith. And we are too. The only way we can receive righteousness is through faith. So you don't work. You don't earn your salvation by the work that you do. You believe in Him who justifies the ungodly. That's how you get righteous. The only way to get righteousness, guys, is through faith in God. The last one I'll mention is this. Verse 16, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Ultimately, if you walk by faith, if you live by faith, you are promised a home in heaven. All right, God is preparing for you a heavenly city right now to live in. So these are all results of faith. Pleasing God, receiving a commendation, righteousness, ultimately a home in heaven. These are all things that we get. They're benefits that are ours if we walk by faith. So let's just move into a time of application. For application today, I just have a couple of different questions for you to think about. Biblical faith is a deep trust in God that influences our actions. So here's what I want to ask you today, church. What are you trusting in for your salvation? All right, are you trusting in your own intellect? Are you trusting in your own good works? Are you trusting in what your reputation is or who your mom and daddy were? Or are you trusting in Jesus? Remember, Jesus is the big tree, and He's the only big tree. All right, He's the only one that's going to be strong enough, going to be able to never let you down. If you put your faith in Jesus, you can rest assured that you are secure. But if you put your faith in anything else, man, it's just like trying to get a big rope and tie it to that little sapling that I had up there. It's not going to work. All right, eventually it's going to fall. Are you trusting in Jesus for your salvation? Now, I want to address the fact something that I know that there's some people in here that may be struggling. All right, they may struggle to have faith. Like, in fact, I know I've talked to a lot of y'all. I know some of y'all pretty well, and I know that there's people in here today that struggle to have faith, that struggle to believe the promises of God, that struggle to believe the Word of God, or struggle to live in faith. Like, what do you do if you're in that position where you're like, I kind of want to believe even, maybe, but I just don't feel like I have faith? Well, a couple of different things. First of all, if that's you today, if you struggle to have faith, I want to encourage you a couple of different things. One, please don't just fake it. All right? There's going to be a temptation for you to just fake it, for you to just pretend like you have faith. All right? And please don't do that. There are so many people walking around out there that are just faking faith. And it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do anybody else any good. All right? So don't just fake faith. All right? But also, don't just give up. Don't just walk away. Man, there's people, I've had conversations with people that have said, you know what? I've read the Bible, and I respect you. I respect what you believe. I just don't feel like it's real. I don't feel like I have faith. This Christianity thing must not be for me. I think I need to leave. I think I'm just going to move on. And that's not the right answer either, guys. That's not the right answer to just say, well, I guess it ain't for me, and to leave. All right? I want to encourage you with this. Remember, faith is a gift. Faith is not something you can manufacture on your own, but you can ask God for it. All right? Remember Romans 10. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of Christ. The way that we receive faith is through hearing the gospel. All right? So if you're struggling to have faith, I want to encourage you to keep showing up. All right? Keep showing up. Keep listening to preaching. Keep reading the Bible. Keep talking with people. Keep wrestling with it. All right? Don't give up. Keep wrestling with it. And I want to encourage you to ask God for faith. You can ask God to give you faith, right? Ask like the Father in Mark 9. Father in Mark 9 said, I believe. Help my unbelief, right? He says, God, I want to believe. I'm struggling to believe. Please help me. Help my unbelief. And so do that. Ask God to help you believe. And then believe that God can do that. Believe that God loves to give good gifts to His children, to those who ask. All right, God loves to give good gifts to His children who ask Him, particularly the Holy Spirit. And I truly believe, church, that if you, in all sincerity, ask God to help you believe, that He will answer that prayer. And He will give you the faith. Right? If you sincerely and humbly and repentantly come and ask Him to give you faith, then He will always answer that prayer. Now, for those of us who maybe are already walking by faith, I want to ask you this. Where is God calling you to walk by faith today? Because walking by faith is not just a one-time deal. Like, it's something that you do your entire Christian life. Okay? God continually challenges us to trust Him and to walk by faith. It's how we grow, right? That's how we grow as a believer. And really, you can think of the Christian life as really just like one step of faith after another. Like, you take one step of faith, and then God calls you to do something else, and you take another step of faith. God calls you to do something else, you take another step of faith. Like, your entire Christian life is one where you're walking by faith. And each step you take gets you closer to your Savior. Each step you take gets you closer to Jesus. So what's God asking you to do today? Could be lots of different things. It could be that your step of faith is by praying is to pray for a friend at work that you know is struggling. It could be that your step of faith is that you really need to have a hard conversation with your spouse, and you've been kind of putting it off because you're not quite sure how they're going to respond, but you know that's what you need to do. Could be your step of faith this week is to initiate that conversation. Could be that your step of faith might be confessing a sin to your D group this week and asking for help. Could be that your step of faith is to finally forgive somebody. Man, it takes a lot of faith to forgive. Could be that your step of faith this week is to finally stop faking it and to finally repent and admit that you need help and give your life to Jesus. Whatever God's calling you to do this morning, church, that requires you to trust in Him, I want to encourage you to take out just a mustard seed of faith and do it. All right? And I'm going to end with this. If you walk by faith, the results in this life will be uncertain. All right? You may end up becoming mighty in war and conquering kingdoms and being made strong out of weakness, but you might not. All right? You might get tortured. You might go about destitute, afflicted, mistreated. The results of walking by faith in this life are unknown. Okay? But there are some results of walking by faith in Jesus that you can be certain of. If you walk by faith, you will please God. All right? You will be declared righteous and justified before God. You will grow in holiness to be more and more like your Savior. You'll be swept up in the great adventure of following Christ into the glorious unknown. All right, you will testify to everyone around you of the power of God and of His supreme worth. God can use you to accomplish things that would be impossible if you weren't walking by faith. And ultimately, one day, you'll see your Savior face to face, and you'll be welcomed by Him to your heavenly reward, and you will hear the sweetest words you'll ever hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll set you faithful. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Church, this is a result of faith. Let's walk by faith, each step by faith. Let's live by faith by putting our trust in Jesus.